my friends. Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. This here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Yes, my friends, it's March. It was coming in like a lion, but it's going out like a puff. But here on Fish Fry, we're not into any old puff. Oh no, the puff we're talking about is physical unclonable function. My distinguished guest this week is none other than Pim Tulls, CEO and founder of Intrinsic ID. Pim and I are talking about the rise of puff in today's EE ecosystem, where physical unclonable functions are headed in the future, and what Intrinsic ID's Puff Cafe is all about. But before we bring in Pim, it's time for a little news you may have missed. Improving the intelligence of our robots with quantum mechanics. So, as you may have noticed, how robots learn is especially interesting to me. Here on Fish Fry, we have talked about this a number of times over the years, but not with a sprinkling of quantum mechanics. Until now. So recently, a group of researchers led by Philip Walther, that includes a team of experimental physicists from the University of Vienna, the German Aerospace Center, the Austrian Academy of Sciences, and a whole lot more, have successfully proven that the addition of quantum mechanics can significantly increase how fast a robot can learn. Okay, so let me back up a second. Research scientists throughout the world have been working on bridging the gap between robotics and quantum mechanics for a couple years now, and specifically how each of these domains can learn from each other. But until now, even though there have been a number of different quantum experiments that employ specific learning techniques, robots have not been able to learn faster. And we all know that learning faster is the key to even more evolved autonomous machines, right? But then this recent experiment came along and changed all of that. Valeria Saggio, first author of the publication about this experiment, says this: "The experiment could show that the learning time is significantly reduced compared to the case where no quantum physics is used." Okay, but how? Well, this team used single photons coupled in an MIT-designed integrated photonic quantum processor. It was this processor that was actually used as the robot and was used to implement those learning tasks. So, the robot would route the single photons to a predefined direction. The key here is what is called the superposition principle. So, to understand this principle, let's set the stage a bit. Imagine a robot is presented with a crossroad and is given the task of learning to always make the left turn and is given a reward if it goes in the right direction. If we use our traditional non-quantum mechanics method, the robot will try both the left and right, but will only be given a reward when it is picked the left direction. But with the addition of the superposition principle, this decision can be intuitively understood by imagining the robot will take two turns, left and right, at the same time. Hans Breigel, who developed the theoretical ideas on quantum learning agents with his group at the University of Innsbruck, who participated in this experiment, explains it like this. He says, "The key feature enables the implementation of a quantum search algorithm that reduces the number of trials for learning the correct path. As a consequence, an agent that can explore its environment in superposition will learn significantly faster than its classical counterpart." So, this experiment by this multinational team is quite promising. Philip Walther sums it up like this. He says, "We are just at the beginning of understanding the possibilities of quantum artificial intelligence. and thus every new experimental result contributes to the development of this field, which is currently seen as one of the most fertile areas for quantum computing. Wow. Well, I, for one, am excited to see the next developments in this field. So if you want even more information about this experiment, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to bring in Pim Tulls from Intrinsic ID and talk all about PUF. Let's go. Hi, Pim. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's nice to be here. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Absolutely. Now, Pim, today we're talking about physical unclonable functions, or PUF, and the role of hardware-based security. But Pim, before we get started, for my audience who does not know, can you describe your role in the rise of PUF in today's EE ecosystem? You guys at Intrinsic ID pioneered the use of physical unclonable functions, right?
Yes, that's absolutely correct. So maybe to start with, what is a PUF? That's maybe a good way to start the conversation. So physical unclonable function, or PUF in short, is basically the biometric or the fingerprint of a chip. That's how you can think about it. So all chips, all devices are physically unique, just as us human beings are unique. And you can extract that uniqueness, and that phenomenon we call a PUF. Yeah, and we use that uniqueness to create unique identifiers for chips and devices, and use those then for security purposes on the device, such as encryption and authentication, identification, all these type of things. So with our team, we were very early in recognizing the importance of this, that objects or chips in general should have a unique identity and be able to authenticate themselves, protect themselves. And that was because we realized that the world is moving into what we now call Internet of Things, or the connected world. At the time when we started, it was called ambient intelligence or pervasive computing. And you immediately realize when such a system is going to happen, you need security, because we will all be dependent on these systems. And the system will act autonomously take decisions. So in order to do that at scale, making sure that every device, trillions of chips, can authenticate themselves, you need a security solution that is scalable, economically viable. Yeah, and then the idea was, hey, why don't we use the biometric of the device itself to initiate that security? That's how it all started. It started already in, I think, end of 2001, we really started working on this. We developed the first science around this. We developed the first demos around this. I think we were one of the first also to go into the market with this. We developed the market around this. And at this point in time, we're also the leader in this space. At least that's also what our customers are saying. You guys are leading, and we are even further pushing the field, taking PUFs into all type of devices. We have conquered, let's say, the IoT, the small devices, the more high-end devices, if you want, like FPGAs and defense systems, payment devices, and now also going more and more into data-centric devices, such as data centers, gaming devices, all that type of stuff.
So you guys recently introduced the PUF Cafe. So Pim, what was the goal of this new website, and what will my audience find when they visit the site?
Yeah, so PUF Cafe really is an idea that was born during the COVID time, saying, hey, in the physical world, we would like to build a community, that comes together on a regular basis, exchanges ideas, talks with each other. And you would do that in a bar, so to speak, in a cafe. Give everybody a beer or something else, some appetizers. And then we said, but let's do this digitally now, because everybody is at home. As we are now all for almost a year. Let's build that with a website where, let's say, the customers, partners, friends, interested people in Intrinsic ID PUF technology can come together and learn about PUF technology. Some are not yet used to it and can learn from the beginning. Others can learn from experiences of other customers and partners. There will be blogs, there will be videos, there will be webinars, there will be presentations. I think all the time there will be a news feed giving information about what is happening in PUFs. And really a lot is happening in all kinds of situations. So I'm really very enthusiastic about it. I think it's going in a nice direction. And if we can take this really digital, that's nice, because that can really scale very well. It can even scale beyond, of course, what you could do in the physical world.
That's true. Now, Pim, it was also announced that Fungible is deploying its PUF to secure hyperscale data centers. So give me some information about that. What kind of benefits do you see PUF bringing to these kind of data centers?
Yeah, so data center is a very complex electronic system. So there is lots coming together these days. Yeah, there is huge amount of data coming in to the data center. And then, of course, the data gets processed and gets stored. And that does not go through one chip. There are several types of chips in the data center that all process some part of the data or have some functionality to either store data in an efficient way or pump data through the data center in an efficient way. Now, it is very important at that point in time that you can authenticate the data. So you know that the data is original, that the data has not been changed or tampered with, as we say technically, and that also the device that it's coming from is a genuine device, yeah, not a device that was counterfeit or that was tampered with or that has been attacked. So you want to be able to verify all those things. You also want to make sure that the software running on this device is genuine original software, not fake software or counterfeit software. So in order to guarantee all those things, all those devices need what they call a root of trust, basic, unique, secret identity that can be trusted, from which you're sure it stays secret. Yeah, so nobody else or has copied it. And it is unique. Yeah, there is no other device with the same unique identity, yeah, because then you can make sure that you can recognize something as another machine, another chip, another device uniquely. Yeah, and that's what we help them with, to do that in an efficient manner and in a very secure manner, making sure that they have the right implementation of a root of trust, which will withstand a long time and which provide the necessary security for their purposes.
So, Pim, where do you see PUF technology headed in the future?
In our vision, so we are living in this connected world and everything has to be authenticated. That means all components in the system have to be able to verify that the other component is original, genuine, not counterfeit. And that's very important because otherwise you don't know who generated or what device generated this information. Can that be trusted? Can that not be trusted? Just like we are sitting here in this call right now, you also want to make sure you're talking to Pim, the CEO of Intrinsic ID, and it's not a fake person giving you all this information. So you trust this through some credentials that you have from me and that you're fairly sure you're talking to the right person. But why am I telling you this story? I'm telling you this because you have to think that chips are communicating with each other. They don't see each other. They have no notion of time. They have no notion of space. They have no notion of what the other thing is. They only feel electrical pulses coming in. So how does such a device know that the other element is trustworthy? That's what we guarantee. And that's what we help with. And we are, in that sense, helping the world in making sure that this whole connected world around us can be trusted. And that will be an important factor of the success of it, because if it's not, systems will fail, wrong decisions will be taken, and strange things might happen, and then of course it's all doomed to failure.
That makes sense. All right, it's time for your off-the-cuff question, Pim. Now, it's a little bit of a COVID special these days. So if you could have one meal right now, it doesn't matter if it's on another continent, you need a passport to get there, the restaurant's closed, or heck, if it's even on the other side of your state, what would you have right now?
Right now? That's a good question. I'm not yet hungry. It's the middle of the afternoon here. But I think it would be something with salmon. I like a lot to eat salmon. So every opportunity I have to eat salmon, I eat salmon. So I think it would be a meal with salmon. No meat. I don't eat meat. So, but some salmon with rice and some vegetables. I think that would be my favorite.
Yeah, I love it. And that sounds absolutely delicious right now. Well, Pim, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today.
But thank you for taking the time. It was really fun to do this podcast with you. Thank you.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, it is AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, yes, you can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 19th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.